Hello, and this is Sierra Reed, and I'm joined by Jennifer Lodgson, and I want to welcome you guys to our very first episode of Bitch Musings. And if you can tell by that title, this is going to be kind of different from us doing the women's wrestling podcast here on Pro Wrestling Ponderings. And this has been a project her and I have been talking about doing for a long time. And we decided that more than ever, right now is the time to go for it. There's so many things going on in wrestling and women's wrestling alone, and there's so many topics being thrown out there when it comes to women that are not actually being covered by the major wrestling podcasts, wrestling news sites, or some of the other web news sites that are by women that are not really touching these things. So we decided, why don't we pick it up? Why don't we pick up the slack and discuss these things and bring this conversation to the forefront? So, before we dive in and start talking about what we're going to talk about on today's episode, Jennifer, you want to go and say hello to everybody and jump into your story about how you got into wrestling?
Sure. Hello, everybody. I am Jennifer Pocket Volcano on Twitter, and this has been a long time coming. So, my story is actually a really bad breakup got into wrestling. That's maybe the most stereotypical female thing I could say, but it's God's honest truth. I was 17 years old. And I was completely obsessed with this guy that I had met online. And I was obsessed for him for about 2 years. We were off and on a thing, as much as you can be when I live in Kentucky and he lives in California. But finally, at one point in like February of 1999, he broke off. He changed all of his screen names on America Online. And I could not find him. And I was just 17-year-old me was just utterly devastated. So I had a lot of free time and free energy. I remember I was watching TV, just like flipping through channels, and it was the Monday night after WrestleMania 15. The channel I stopped on USA, and I remember I stopped because there was a segment in the ring where the Undertaker and his Ministry of Darkness was holding Sable hostage in the ring. And I am a sucker for a good damsel in distress story. So, and I was like, okay, this guy is really hot. So, the Undertaker. So I kept watching, and the main story that night was the ministry had kidnapped Stephanie. Ken Shamrock found her in the basement with a cross on her head. But I was like, in between that were some matches. And I was like, this is what my cousin has been into for all of his life. This is like a soap opera. And I liked it because up until that point, my cousin, he was into it since the 80s, since he was little. He went through the Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage phase, and I would just belittle the shit out of him for it. I was like, you like that fake stuff, really? It's not even real, and thinking I was so smart. Well, I liked it so much, I asked Mom, hey, can I order the WrestleMania pay-per-view replay Tuesday night? She was like, okay. So I watched it. And that had to have been my very first exposure to a female wrestling match, Sable versus Tori. But from then on, I was just suckered in. I recorded all the Raws, all the superstars on Monday, no, Saturday mornings, Sunday Night Heat. It got up to a point where I had 100 and 105, 110 VHS tapes full of pay-per-views, all the television shows. And I loved it. And I loved the things they could do in the ring, but I loved the stories more than anything. I loved the how beautiful the women were, but how gorgeous the guys were. The Undertaker and Triple H were my first two crushes in wrestling. And gradually, I think I might have at early on switched over to WCW when I became aware at that point that there was WCW, but it didn't really hold my attention except for every now and again they would show a girl in who was black haired. She screamed her head off. She acted like a maniac, and her name was Daphne. And I, to me, the only thing redeeming about WCW was Daphne. And the fact that they had Miss Madness, who later became, no, not Miss Madness, Mona. She became Molly Holly in the WWF. But those two were the only people that held my interest. And then watching late night local access television, I saw ECW. And I followed them when they went to TNN. And I liked their stuff, not as much. It was a bit raunchy at times, but it was something different and I liked it, but WWF was my main loyalty. And I think it was in 2000 or 2001 where I saw the brief show of Women of Wrestling where they had, oh goodness, like girls named like Riot, and they had a gymnast, Lana Starr, the girls like that. I think it's back now in some kind of form incarnation, but basically that was my foray into wrestling. And it kills me to think of it now that a breakup is what caused me to get into wrestling. But when I started wearing my shirts to casual Fridays at my school, I went to an ultra conservative Baptist school for grades 8 through 12. And every now and again, under my uniform, I would wear like a Road Dogg shirt or a Triple H shirt or something. When I was found to be a wrestling fan, I found another girl in my class who really liked wrestling as much as I did. We even attended the Judgment Day 2000 pay-per-view. But when I was discovered to be a wrestling fan, the boys in my class said that I only got into wrestling because one of the popular hot guys named Chase was a big wrestling fan. So, right off the bat, my fandom was questioned, and I hadn't even known that Chase was a wrestling fan, but automatically, I was not a true wrestling fan. I just got into it because one of the popular guys at school was into it. So that really boded well for the rest of my fandom, but it didn't really bother me because I did not have a shot with him anyway. But it just took up a lot of my time. And as the years passed, though, I really started to like it more and more for the athleticism, especially after the women's division really started getting going in like 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003, those years. And then later on, much later, much later, 2010, getting into the independents. But that's essentially how I became a wrestling fan. And to her credit, my mom, she didn't have a problem. She actually became a fan with me. Her favorite was Shawn Michaels, and my favorite was Triple H. So she would watch the shows with me, and she went to a couple of shows with me. So I never had my family like banning me or permitting me or my fandom. So that was a good thing, considering the horror stories I've heard since then about other kids and how they had to be secret wrestling fans. I had it pretty good, but that's kind of my genesis, and that's not even touching into how I became an independent wrestling fan, but that's how my fandom started. I was a broken-hearted 17-year-old girl who switched all of her energies from one obsession to another obsession that has lasted since I was 17, and I'm now 34 years old. So, pro wrestling has been the love of my life.
We kind of have some similarities of how we both got into wrestling. And no, mine wasn't through a breakup. Mine was through me being in class that was fully more so boys than girls. And hearing the boys talk about this thing on TV, and me being curious because it's kind of a strange story, but I was a tomboy and I hung out with the boys mostly in elementary school. And the reason why is not one of those petty reasons that I just get along with guys better than girls. No, it's just that a lot of things I did were things you would consider guys doing and not girls doing. But when I was at home, I still played with my Barbie dolls. I still liked doing girly things like collecting like lip smack or lip chapstick. For whatever reason, I had like every color. I still did those things, but it was just this particular day, and I remember we were in the third grade, and it's funny because I was just talking to Jennifer off air about third grade and how I had some of the weirdest experiences and some of the life-changing experiences in that class. And we were in line. You know how you get in line to go somewhere? And in my school, it was mandatory. You had to get in line to walk to the bathroom. You had to go in a line to go to lunch and stuff like that. So we were in line. And there was a whole rack of boys in front of me, and they were t going on and on about Goldberg and Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I'm sitting there behind them, and there's a whole bunch of girls behind me, and they were so girly that sports to them was like, ew. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just didn't exist to them because it's just like, it's not the norm. And they were just going on, and I'm just like, who is Goldberg? Who is Stone Cold? Who is these people you're talking about? And they're like, well, Goldberg is on WCW. And I'm like, okay, I just asked you who Goldberg is. Like, I'm supposed to know what a WCW is. Like, explain to me what this is. They're like, they're wrestlers. I was like, oh, are they on TV? Yeah, turn it on Monday night at 8. And it was actually a Monday, which is so funny. And I remember when I went home and I went to turn TV on, and I went in my brother's room. And I remember him watching wrestling, but the memory I have of that was I was like really young. And I remember going into the room and seeing him watching wrestling. It was Randy Savage on TV. So I still had that memory of Randy Savage and Hulk Hogan, but I didn't know what wrestling really was. So when I t went in there, he happened to be watching it. And I can't remember the match, but I remember it was Chris Benoit, Eddie Guerrero, Perry Saturn, and I want to say Dean Malenko was in this match, and they were teaming up to go against somebody. And I remember my brother was like, I like that guy. And I was like, who? And he pointed to Benoit, and I was just like, why? And he's like, he is really good. You need to watch some of his stuff. And I was just like, well, if he's saying he's good, he must be something, you know? So I sat there and watched it, had no freaking idea why they were tagging each other in and out. What is this? What does this mean? Oh, they won? Okay. And then I switched over to USA to watch Raw because I didn't know what it was. And the first thing I see in the ring is Sable. And she's out there in this black cat suit just going off about how these men think that she's supposed to just take her clothes off and she's not supposed to have any rights as a woman and she's not having that. She's the women's champion and you're going to respect her. And I was just like, oh my God, like, how different is this? I go from watching oiled up men wrestling around the ring to turn to this woman, she's just not having it. And after that I said, I'm going to watch this every night. And I turned back to WCW and they were saying, we're going to be on Thunder. I think then it was on Thursdays. And I said, okay, I'm watching Thunder. I'm watching Raw every week. That was like my consistent thing. And it turned from me just casually watching it to obsession. And I remember it was only like a secret between people that was actually my friends that knew I watched wrestling. And then it turned into people poking fun at it. And I'm sure that's a conversation we're going to dive into one day, but it became embarrassing for a while to be known as the girl that looks at wrestling because guys will automatically just label me as that. And then girls look at me in another way. But after I got into wrestling, and I remember I came very fascinated with Jeff Hardy. And I just thought he was the coolest thing in the world. And I was really into that live for a moment thing with the t-shirt and stuff like that. I thought that was awesome. And then when they started throwing the women out there, the first one I latched onto besides Sable was Jacqueline. And the reason why is because Jacqueline was going out there. She didn't care if you were a man, she was or a woman. She's ready to fight. And I thought that was cool because you just didn't think you were going to see that. And ever since then, I've adored that woman. Ivory, Tori, Lena Vachon is one of my favorites. So underrated, never gets credit for anything. And watching those few women at the beginning and not thinking that a couple years later this was going to be a full-fledged big deal and was going to lead to these women's promotions being created, more of these young girls watching like me getting into the business because of these women. I didn't think that was going to happen. And watching it for years and even throughout the transition where they went from being called women to divas, I watched through out all of that, and I just enjoyed it and really followed the women and wrestling at the time. And then later on, I got into indie wrestling, and the way I got into that was I didn't even realize that indie wrestling existed because when you're so programmed to watching WCW and WWE, you don't realize there's an outside entity that helped create this. I didn't know anything about there being an NWA or these other organizations that did exist to help make this possible for us to see guys like Sting. I had no clue until I started from going from watching it on TV. I started collecting action figures. That didn't last long because my little cousin ate up Hardcore Holly's fingers one time, and that didn't last. And I went from that and I said, why don't I start getting magazines? I had so many WWE magazines that when we moved, I had to get rid of some of them because they were so badly torn up from all those years that I had to get rid of them. And then I went from that and I started seeing like Pro Wrestling Illustrated. And there used to be this magazine at the time called World of Wrestling. And for whatever reason, they stopped making this
Was it the
magazine.
ginormous?
Yes.
Yes, that was the greatest magazine.
And it had everything in it. And I remember picking up PWI and reading it, and I could not really, connect with it because I didn't understand, like, some of the tone and some of the things they were talking about. They were talking about insider things, and I was just like, I don't want to hear that. I just want to hear about how good the match was. Like, I don't care about that stuff. So then when I got World of Wrestling, and the way I got into it was my friend, who's my best friend. He was like, why don't you pick up this? He brought it to math class one day and we got in trouble because we weren't allowed to have that in our school. And we were reading it and I was just like, hand me the book because I can't finish reading it. And I was reading it front to back and I just could not believe all the information in there. And there was just so many things about so many guys that I was just like, who is this? Who is that? Where is he wrestle? And all this stuff. And I was just blown away that there's a world outside of WWE and WCW. I couldn't believe it. I always thought that if you want to be a wrestler, you just walk in WWE's headquarters and say, I want to wrestle, and you were on TV. I didn't know that there was a thing that you got to go training, you got to go pay your dues on the indies, and then you can get signed. Never knew about this. And that book exposed me, and as some of us say on the internet, smarten us up. And that helped start a new journey into really getting into wrestling. And again, we're going to dive into that. So before we jump into how we both got into indie wrestling and then later on women's wrestling, Jennifer, why don't you share how you transitioned from watching it to really diving into watching your shimmers and going out and attending shows?
Like I said, I had attended a couple of before the regulations and the rules changed and the WWE could no longer put on televised products in Kentucky. Before that, I attended We only had one pay-per-view here that I remember, Judgment Day 2000. I went to every time Raw or SmackDown was here, I went. And for the longest time, I didn't realize there was independent shows. I didn't realize there was an independent wrestling anywhere. And I want to say that in probably the mid-2000s, I was kind of starting to get burned out. I was paying attention but not recording as many shows as I was. And when the Diva Search came along, that really just soured me because they let go of so many good women, and they brought in all these models that were just they were pretty, but it was like it's not the same as seeing like Jackie or Gail Kim or Luna. It's just like meh. So I don't know how I actually discovered TNA, but that was my next really big discovery. And when they started to create their knockouts division, just seeing the first group of women that they had was like Amazing Kong, Angelina Love, Jackie Moore, Tracy Brooks, just all the Roxy Laveau, just all these different looking girls, and all of them had a background, and it just shocked me because I was, yeah, you had your brunettes and whatnot in WWE, but your standard was your blonde, slender, just your standard diva type. So it was, I don't know how, I think it was in 2007 I discovered TNA. And then in 2008, I've actually got an article that's going to come out on PW Ponderings about how I got into Shimmer, but Shimmer was my gateway into independent wrestling as a whole. I think it was about 2008 that I was lamenting on my live journal about the Diva Search, and you had your, big Mickie James and Beth Phoenix on TV, but it seemed like they weren't getting the pushes that, other girls were getting. And a friend of mine named Sarah said, "Have you ever heard of Shimmer Women Athletes?" And I was like, "No." She sent me a link to a match that featured a Daisy Hayes promo first. And then it was a match. It wasn't a Shimmer match, but it was her against, I want to say, Lacey, either an IWA Mid-South or Ring of Honor. And watching it just blew me away because I knew that girls could do this stuff. Like when I started watching wrestling, WWE, the women's division was dire. You had Sable who left in like mid 1999. Otherwise, you had Ivory, Jackie, Luna, and Tori. And those four women I credit to giving me the realization that women could wrestle, they could work hard, they could brawl, they could do what the men could do, but maybe not as good as the men. But those four I will always love. I will always give them a credit to putting that germ of women's wrestling in me. But when they signed girls like Lita and then Molly Holly, I realized, okay, there are girls who can do this as well as the men. Because Molly was like a female Dean Malenko. And then I learned that she had been trained by him, which it made sense. And then you had Lita, who could do the high flying stuff. And just, she was so different. She was red haired, she was fearless, she was beautiful, but she wasn't conventionally beautiful. And immediately I dyed my hair red and stuck it up in pigtails and, just dressed like her and everything. And so and then you had girls like Jazz and Victoria and Gail Kim, and you had resurgence of Ivory and Jackie. And that for a while, that women's division, and Trish, you had Trish that I like and I respect the hell out of her. I think Lita had a bit more to do with getting the women's division to that golden age, but the fact that you had a Trish that really did not want to be stuck in that cheesecake role, that she really wanted to work hard and become good in the ring, and she did. But she was always a good worker, but it was just, it's hard to describe, it's hard to explain, but, and I don't want anybody to think that I'm dissing her, because I'm not. I respect the hell out of that woman. But watching Daisy versus Lacey made me realize that these women are just as good as the men, and nobody in the audience was like, you didn't see people like massively getting up and going to take a bathroom break or get refreshments. These girls were getting the audience involved and engaged, and it was a fucking good wrestling match. And I told my friend, how can I see more of this? And she showed me more free matches that I could download, because I don't think YouTube was available at that point. But then the next year I realized she said Shimmer was available for on sale, so I got the first 5 volumes of Shimmer through Big Vision Entertainment on Walmart's website, and then I got volume 6 for Christmas. And I devoured them. I saw women like, Beth Phoenix, and I saw Natty Neidhart before they were signed to WWE, and I was like, oh my God, this is the best thing I've ever seen. Ladies like Sara Del Rey, Mercedes Martinez, just they were like the men. And it was a revelation. And I went to my first Ring of Honor show. I think that was my very first independent show. And I went for the girls because I think it was Sara Del Rey and Daisy were there in some capacity. I don't remember who they wrestled, but I know I got to see like El Generico and the Kings of Wrestling, and I was captivated. I was like, these are awesome. This is here. This is right down the street from me. So at that point, I wanted to go to Shimmer, and with help from my mom, I went to Shimmer in September 2010. From there in 2011, that was really my door into independent wrestling. I didn't really, all that I went to in 2010 and 2011 was Shimmer and 2 Ring of Honor shows, because there was nothing else around here, and even Shimmer was 5 hours away. That was past the point where I didn't realize this until after its heyday was really kind of gone, but Ohio Valley Wrestling, where you had guys like Punk and Mercury and Morrison and Beth and Katie Lee and Serena Deeb, literally 10 minutes down from my house. I could have walked down there to see all this great wrestling. And on top of all that, I found out IWA Mid-South, whatever you want to think about it, that produced some goddamn good wrestling. And it was the genesis of Shimmer started there with Volcano Girls. That a lot of that was based right across the river, 30, 40 minutes from my house, and I had missed out on all that, and it still bothers me today. But that's when I started going to shows. In 2012, I attended my first Chikara show, my first Absolute Intense Wrestling show, thanks to Sassy Stephanie. I flew to Montreal, Quebec, Canada for Femmes Fatales, NCW Femme Fatales. Flew out on a Friday, saw the show Saturday, flew home on Sunday. And since then, I've just kept my ear to the ground, because you never know where you're going to find the next big star or the next big thing. But even if it's not the next big thing, you can find some really great wrestling in your backyard. So that's in a nutshell just how I started to go into shows. It's all because of Shimmer.
Well, with me, I haven't been to many shows, and I don't know what it is. I think I'm because I'm so used to watching it at home that I just get comfortable in watching it. And it also comes from the thing when I was into wrestling and first got into it, my class, there was never another girl that watched it. And when there was, the other girl was only into it because she was trying to be cool. She was trying to be around certain guys that she liked and whatever. And it's sad that that has to be what it was, but that's how it was. So I could never connect with another female fan and speak about my fandom and be comfortable with it. It was always guys. And after getting into the magazines and really getting into them, I remember after everybody was singling me out as a girl that liked wrestling in school and walking around and being labeled that, I remember being a couple times in school where somebody would be like, Sierra, she knows this about so and so. And then I have to like educate somebody on that. And after a while, it was fine. But there became a point, I think around high school, where I did not want to be known as that. I did not want anybody to know I looked at wrestling. And because I didn't have anybody else to relate to, I kept it to myself for a number of years and enjoyed it in my own little shell. And now, when it comes to wrestling, there's social media, and you can converse with so many other wrestling fans around the world that you haven't even met in person. And it's a beautiful thing, but for those years, I didn't have anybody. And then my best friend, after not knowing, seeing each other for like a number of years, we got back in contact and we started talking about it, and he looks at wrestling, so I have that comfort there now. But then I didn't have it. And I remember reading the magazines and stuff, and I remember I used to keep a journal, and I would write about wrestling and things I like about it, and I would even write about like storylines and how like I would change things around. And some people probably think that's a little nerdy and going a little too far into your fandom, but that's how much I really loved the storytelling, the action in the ring, and really just was obsessed with it at 9 and 10 years old. And I would keep the journal and stuff like that, and then I just kept every magazine I seen I wanted to buy. And I remember one time we were in, I believe it was a Food Lion, and each store would carry different magazines, right? And my mom was like, "No, I'm not buying you that magazine, Sierra. That magazine's like $10." And I was just like, "Mom, you don't understand. They're talking about so and so in here." It's just like, "I don't care. You're not getting a magazine." And I just could not bear with the idea of that I could not get this magazine and know about more of these other people that's wrestling around on the indies that I'm never going to see. And when I finally did get that magazine, I think it was like a couple of days later, I finally got it. And I opened it up, and the first person that was in there, and it's crazy because now he's on television every week, it was AJ Styles. I did not know who AJ Styles was, never heard of this guy. Only time I remember seeing him was like the very few times I think he was in WCW, but I didn't know that since then he had became this big deal on the indies. And I remember it was just this picture, and he had on a hoodie, and I think he had like light blue one, and they were just going on and on about how he's so phenomenal. And I was like, is he really that good? Like, I never seen this guy. And then the next page, they started talking about this promotion upstarting called TNA. And I said, another promotion? Why we need another promotion? WCW's gone out of business. ECW's gone. And I was just like, wow, so we're having another promotion. And this was like right after the invasion angle. And I was just so fascinated that there was a new promotion coming up. They didn't really have television at the time. You only heard about these guys is if you looked at magazines or you were able to get those pay-per-view events. So after that, I said, okay, it's great to know what the guys are doing. And I think around maybe like 8th grade, I started really getting interested in women's wrestling. And I used to buy the magazines, and I would cut the pictures out of Lita, who was like my favorite at the time. And since then, she's not really my favorite because my ideas about her in wrestling has changed since then. But she was my favorite. Ivory has always been my favorite. Jacqueline. And then they had brought in Molly Holly, who I was a fan of in WCW when she was Miss Madness, and Medusa and all these other women. And I would cut these pictures out and I would put them up on my wall and I would write certain things about these women, about like this one does this one does that, and what she's in is in the division and stuff like that. And after that, I said, okay, I know a lot about these women right now, but there's got to be other women wrestling somewhere. So when I got into the magazines, there came this magazine called, by I think it was like Pro Wrestling Illustrated. It was called Women of Wrestling. And this book had Stacy Keibler up on the front of the cover. She had glasses and she had on this black dress and she was just there and I was just like, what is this about? What are we doing here? And I opened it up and it was just 100 and something pages full of women in wrestling around the world. And in those pages was Lufisto, Mercedes Martinez, Daisy Hayes, Mischief, Sarah Del Rey, Cheerleader Melissa, and the next volume had Mickie James, who was then Alexis Lorraine, Melina, Beth Phoenix, who was then known as Phoenix, and Natalya. And I was just like, who are these women? Where they wrestle? And I read those magazines back to back almost every day. I even got to the point where I knew the words just so I had that information in my mind about this is so and so, she wrestles in OVW. This is so and so, she wrestles over here. She wrestles there. She's coming here and all stuff. I had all this information stored in my mind. So since I didn't have the internet, and people think I joke when I say this, I didn't get the internet access until 2007 because I didn't have a computer. I couldn't go too far and research about these places these women was wrestling. So every time I would turn on a Raw or SmackDown and I would see Beth Phoenix debut, I would freak out. 'Cause I'm like, I remember seeing her in the magazine. Like, she's here now? Mickie James. I remember when Mickie James first got signed to Developmental, I remember saying, she better debut. She has to debut. She doesn't debut, I'm gonna be mad at WWE. I'm not gonna be a fan anymore because I love Mickie James. And when she finally showed up, I just could not believe it. Serena Deeb, another one I followed through her whole career, and to finally see these women actually debut and being a lump sum with all these other great women that's around, like your Litas, your Trishas, and stuff. I just could not believe that this was happening, that this was possible. And then there became this new stereotype that happened after all that. The Divas. They were being called Divas, as I remember. I think it was like back maybe 1999. They started calling them that. But it was kind of like, here and there, they would call them Divas. And then out of nowhere, it became the Divas Division. And they were coined that and were labeled with that for years. And after a while, they stopped getting rid of the girls that was wrestling and started bringing in models and turning them into wrestlers. And I have nothing against that, but it went from being something that I loved and cherished and brought my fandom to life in wrestling to being something that I could no longer relate to. And think about maybe like when I was in junior year in high school, I stopped watching because I was like, okay, I'm not being satisfied with what's going on with the Intercontinental title, the world title. And now look at the women's division. They're not giving me something to watch, so why watch? And I stopped. And when I got the internet, I started plugging in these names. I remember I plugged in Cheerleader Melissa's first name. And all this stuff popped up with Shimmer. And I was like, what is Shimmer? What is this? What is Shimmer? What's that mean? And I just kept clicking on names and places, and everything brought me to Shimmer. And I was just like, what is Shimmer? And I finally clicked on it and I read everything about it. And I was just like, now look at that. I always thought when I was younger, it'd be so cool if there was a wrestling company for women. And there is one. And ever since then, I was just like, oh my God, I've got to follow this place. I got to see who's coming in. And that really helped me get into indie wrestling. And I knew about certain places on the indies like Ring of Honor. but I didn't have access to it. So years later, when I finally got to have access to it, there were so much great things that happened the years before that I had to keep, like, really keep catching up on. And I felt so out of the loop because everybody else has already seen this, and then here I am, like 5 or 6 years late, and I'm like, I didn't get to see the great Loki. Actually, what is wrong with me? And then it just out of nowhere, all these promotions started popping up. Absolute Intense Wrestling. You got Freelance. You've got this one over here. You got that one, Alpha One, Smash Wrestling. And then, I finally just said, okay, there's like 100 and something promotions here in the United States. I need to get information on this. And I really dived into researching all this and really found out that this is where a lot of guys I'm watching on TV come from. And then, that leads me into how I got into covering women's wrestling. And before then, I'm gonna allow Jen to jump in and explain how she got into actually writing about it. Because that's how, I never told you this, Jen, but that's how I found out who you were when I kept seeing you write about it. And I kept saying, wow, there's a girl writing about this, because I never knew there was other girls writing about this. I've only been known as the only female fan of wrestling.
Oh wow. That's awesome. I have to say it was in 2000 and like late either late 2009 or early 2010 that when I got on social media, when I got on Twitter and I started connecting with other wrestlers, with other wrestling fans that I found, eventually I found Divadirt.com. And they were sort of transitioning from being like just a blog to starting being like a professional news site. And I met the there was only two guys that wrote for the site at the time, Steven and Eric. And otherwise, oh no, there was three, and David was there too. But the two people that owned it and ran it were women. And so I started following them on Twitter, reading the website, and I asked if I could contribute because I've always been a writer, not very good in my own opinion, but nevertheless, I've written poems and stories. And when I got into wrestling, I actually wrote fan fiction, and reading and writing it was took up a lot of time. But I asked how I could contribute, and they offered some suggestions. I actually wrote a review for the country album Mickey James did, and they published it, and Mickey actually read it and she retweeted it and she said thanks for the kind review. And Mickey was had been one of my favorites for a while, ever since she appeared on WWE TV as Trish's like biggest fan. So when she saw my review and she just retweeted it and told me thank you. Oh man, my head was in the clouds for maybe a month after that. So I just wanted to contribute more and more and more. And finally, they said, do you want to would you like to start joining us for podcasts? And eventually I started doing write-ups for some of the C plus shows like TNA Explosion. If they had a women's match, I would do a write-up and a commentary on it. So Diva Dirt gave me Melanie gave me my first break into writing about wrestling. And then in 2010, no, that was yeah, that was 2010. 2011, I joined Ring Bells when they Stu and Lee broke away from Diva Dirt with their Women of Wrestling podcast. They created Ring Bells Online, and I was with Lee at the time and friends with all them. I joined Ring Bells along with a friend of ours, Shanti. So it was us four doing reviews. Stu and Lee did the podcast, and at the time, I was also starting to do some small pieces for the Honor magazine. that I can't remember. I think it maybe it might have started as Pride, and then it went to Honor. It was an online e-magazine about women of wrestling all over the world. So I started contributing to them, and then after I left Ring Bells in 2012, I started a blog, and I read, I did reviews, but mostly it was opinion pieces. And I still update my blog from time to time, but in 2013, I started doing pieces for PW Ponderings. And yeah, it was 2013 when I started to get really into more and more non-female wrestling independence. I started doing reviews, opinion pieces, and that's where I am today. So really, Diva Dirt gave me my chance to really start writing about women's wrestling, and then that started me writing about independent wrestling overall.
I have a similar story. When I was doing my research and stuff, and I kept saying, there's got to be a site that covers women's wrestling out there. And I remember plugging in women's wrestling news, and I think it was on Google at the time, and Diva Dirt came up. And I remember tagline at the top, Women's Wrestling Bible. And I said, well, if they're going to call themselves a Bible, they've got to know everything. You've got to know everything if you're gonna put that out there. So I went there and I remember being like, okay, they're called Diva Dirt, they're the Bible, let's hope they know something. And by then I was pretty well versed and educated on women's wrestling and a lot of the women that were wrestling on the independents and stuff. And this was all without the internet. This was all through magazines and little research I could get from my friend and stuff like that. So I knew a lot. So when I went there and I was reading some of the articles and stuff, and I was just like, okay, so and so got injured. That's the latest rumor. And then I went down and read some of the really good articles about this and that, and I was just like, well, they got a lot of content. And I was just so surprised that they stuck to women's wrestling and not skip out on it like a lot of people have done. And every day I remember checking it. And I remember I came up to a point and I was just like, I think they had put up something where they were looking for new writers. And I said, I should volunteer. But I was so freaking nervous about going through it. And this was like at their very beginning. And I think didn't Diva Dirt start in like 2008?
Yeah,
Okay.
it started as just like a gossip blog.
Yeah, so see, when they first started, that's when I found them. And I remember saying, oh man, I should really get into this. Like, why not? But at the time, I was still, as you could probably say, closeted fan. I just didn't know how to express that I like wrestling and I like women's wrestling in particular and how to actually go about writing it down. And I didn't know how to approach this, so I just left it alone. And I remember they put it up again, and I was just like, nope, I'm not going here. And I remember when I would go to the site, I'd never seen stuff from you writing, Lee, Stu. And it's so funny because years later, I would actually know you guys, but then I didn't know you guys. I just knew of your names when it was up the top by so and so. And after that, I said, is there, I kept remember saying, well, there's wrestling websites where there's fans helping create content. There's got to be something like an outfit for fans. And I went did looking around and I came across all these forums and I said, I can't do this. I can't do forums. And I remember putting in, I think it was like Pro Wrestling News Site or something like that. And the first thing that popped up on Google was angrymarks.com. And I kept scrolling past it, checking out the other websites. And every time I would go to a different website, there'd be things on the side like advertising, this website, this so and so. And I kept clicking on those things, right? And sometimes it's not good to click because you go somewhere you don't want to go, okay? And I was clicking, and every time I went to a different website and I would click on these things, they would take me to a different one. And I was just like, oh, this is so cool. There's like 100 sites talking about wrestling. And then every time I would go to a different website, I would see this banner with a fist, right? Red and black banner with a fist. I kept saying, this thing called Angry Marks is on all these websites. It must be something about it. And I finally one day said, you know, I'm clicking. Clicked on it. And since I clicked on it, they had a show going live then streaming on the site. And I said, what in the world? Because I heard all this talking and I'm like, what is that? They're doing a show now? As I'm on the site, and I was just blown away that people are not just writing about this, now they're making shows about this. And I remember saying, I'm gonna listen to this and see if I like this, if this is cool. And I remember they were talking about their chat room they had on the site and how, and they were talking about how like some of the fans was in there talking and stuff like that. And I was just like, that's so cool. And I remember, I think it was like 2 nights later, I said, I'm gonna listen and I'm gonna join chat room because I had no one to talk about wrestling with and it just sucked. And I joined the chat room and I started talking about wrestling with all these fans, and I think it was like maybe a week later, I made my first ever on-air appearance on a podcast. And it was a part of a like a joke tongue-in-cheek thing. And then I think it was like a couple days later, I was on a real wrestling podcast. And then they asked me to join as one of the co-hosts. And I did not think that this was going to be something that I would do years later. And this was 2010. And I remember saying, well, this is just something to do for fun. But over the years, I got so comfortable with it and had so much fun with it that I stuck with it and thought that this is cool. You can communicate with other wrestling fans in show form, or if you're going live, you can interact with them in the chat room. And at the time, we were on Blog Talk Radio. So when you call Blog Talk Radio, I don't know if it's like this now. And if it is, I feel sorry for you. You had to dial all these freaking numbers, right? It just felt like you was just never going to get there, right? And you had to sit there. And while you're on air, people could call in that same number, right? And come on air and talk to you. And I thought that is so cool. I want to do this all the time. And it went from being, I'm thinking a one-time thing, to being 4 years, almost 5 years there. And I went from hosting a Tuesday night show where I was lumped in with four other guys. I was the only female on air there, to hosting a Tuesday night show with another guy, and then going on Thursdays with another guy, and then having a maybe it was like maybe 4 episode thing with the other women that were at the site who were really not at the site, who didn't even contribute. And after a while doing podcasts and stuff, and I remember being on air, and I would express my relationship with women's wrestling and how I liked it and how I followed it. And it was hard to explain to them that I like wrestling, but women's wrestling is my strong suit, and not have somebody make a crude or ignorant remark about women in wrestling. So after that, and I said, you know what? I looked at the site, looked all around. I had written articles about silly things on there, and I said, there is no coverage for women's wrestling. That's when I took it upon myself to do it myself. I researched everything myself, did the results and everything myself, and would put up a thing called Angry Marque newsfeed. And I would put it up every week, and it would be long and lengthy, and I did it relentlessly all the time. And it's still, I don't think it translated too much on the site because you still had people with that same mindset. And after a while, I was doing all that work. I was doing two podcasts a week, putting up the Angry Marque. And then other people were asking me to come do podcasts on other websites and stuff like that. So I had all that going on. And I think it was about maybe February of 2014. There's some things that went down, and I just like, I can't stay here. There's people here that don't see the agenda I'm trying to help push and trying to help grow us. It's no need for me to be here. I'm doing so much work. It's time for me to go. And I remember I got on Facebook and Lee had put up a post that Ringbells Online, who I had been following for such a long time, was looking for new writers. And I contacted him. It was like late in the night. It was probably like 3 in the morning, Jennifer. It was terrible. And I was just like, I was having anxiety issues, and I was just so mad, and I was just so adamant that, like, I can't be there if this is going on, and this is kind of conflicting with my interests. I was just going through the motions, right? And I wrote Ringbell's page, and I said, are you guys still looking for writers? Because I am available to go and write. I don't mind what it is. Hand it to me, I'll write about it. I love women's wrestling, and I get this whole thing. And Lee wrote me back, and he was just like, you are right on time, because I was about to send that out again. And I was just like, oh my God, he responded. Because, like, I figured it was going to be one of those situations where I got ignored, because before then, I had started writing for, there used to be this magazine called Ring Sirens. And I wrote for a number of those issues. And I felt like it was some of my best content. And
then, wasn't that an actual, I'm sorry for interrupting, but wasn't that an actual magazine?
Yes.
I still have some of those in my closet.
See, I was in there.
That's amazing. I fucking love that magazine so much.
And I would, I remember it was with that story. There was this, the guy that owned it, Tyler, he had contacted me. And I think I had went to ringsirens.com and tried to sign up and try to become a new writer there, but I never heard anything back, right? And he contacted me and was just like, can you write for my magazine? And I was just like, huh? Magazine? Because the only magazine I knew of at the time about women's wrestling was Honor. And I was just like, you got a magazine? And he was just like, yeah, I want you to write for the site, but I really want you to write content for my magazine because I read some of your work and I really enjoyed it and yada, yada, yada. And I was like, sure. What do you want me to write about? And he's just like, well, we need help in the Joshi department. And I was like, oh, you ain't even got to say nothing but a word. And he's like, anything else you can write about with? And he was telling me about, like, other writers that was on board, how some of them was covering, like, WWE, TNA, and stuff like that. So I was just like, well, I'll cover more of the indie stuff. And I remember the first issue I wrote with Hanaya is on the cover. I still have that one. And I wrote about NCW Femme Fatales. I wrote about Joshi. Like, most of the Joshi articles that went on for, like, 5 pages was me. For anybody that has that, that was me. I wrote about AIW one time or twice. I think I wrote about WSU. And it was something else I wrote about. But I was writing for them. And I remember going to Diva Dirt signing up to be a new writer. Never got a response from that. Never did. So I said, well, all hope is lost. Diva Dirt doesn't even want to answer me. Where am I going to go? So when Lee answered me and he was just like, when can you start? And I was just like, well, I'm planning on leaving Angry's Marks. I feel like it's a conflict of interest. I feel like it's time for me to be within like company. And talking to him for a little bit, he understood. And I felt so comfortable right off the bat that this is where I needed to be. And it's time to make that transition. So he's like, well, what's the first thing you're going to write about? And I remember it was Leah Von Dutch, who's now Lea Vaughn. She had won a title up there. And I wrote about that so fast and sent it to him, and he put in the Ring Bells Roundup the next week. And he was just like, oh my God, Sierra, like, you're too fast. Don't be that fast. And I was just like, well, it's right there. I did it for you. He was just like, thank you, but golly, girl. And after that, I just started, went to the site, posting up things about, like, matches I would find and, like, news items and stuff like that. And I actually had fun with it because it helped me be able to cover different things as opposed to constantly being talking about the Divas and the Knockouts, which I do like talking about. But it became a time at Angry Marks where only guys, some of the guys I was on air with, that's all they wanted to talk about because that's the only women's wrestling they looked at. They didn't care anything about the indie women's wrestling promotions. They would make big puns with Shimmer and stuff like that. And so when I got to be at Ringbells Online, I felt like my best work came out there. And then when I found out that September about Stu's passing, and then Lee tell me that I'm thinking about letting the site go, would you take on the Roundup as your own thing? And I said to him in the Facebook response, are you sure you want me to do that? Because I kept thinking, why would he want me to do that? And he's just like, I think you can handle it, and I wouldn't ask you if I didn't believe in your work. And I told him thank you, and I sent him like a big long message about like thank you for giving me the opportunity and how much Ringbells meant to me and how you guys helped me continue with my journey into women's wrestling. And I think it was that December when he told me that, and I had nowhere else to go because he had took the site down, and he told me to write up the roundup, and I wrote that up, and I said, where am I gonna go? I don't have no website. I got this great thing. Where am I gonna go? And I remember Kevin Ford sent me a DM after I sent out the tweet saying, I've got the roundup and we're looking for a home. And he sent me a message and he said, you ever think about coming to Pro Wrestling Ponderings? And I said, no, not really. I would like to, but that's only if you guys would have me. And they say no, Jerome got in contact with me. And we did the podcast. I think it was that week later, the women's podcast. It was you, myself, Dave, and Jerome. And that's when I made the announcement that I was coming over on board. And ever since then, I've been having a great time here with Pro Wrestling Ponderings. And it's just been a lot. Social media has been playing a lot with it comes into wrestling. And it's helped keep my love for it alive. Especially when it comes to indie wrestling and knowing what everything that's going on, like right now, I'm looking at my Twitter and it's saying that I have 54 new tweets. Mind you, I just refreshed it from 126 new tweets, and now it's saying I now it says 57 because it's so many things going on with indie wrestling to keep up on, and you find yourself falling out and forgetting to keep up on this and that. And so, when it comes to covering as a large scale, when it comes to women's wrestling, I don't think a lot of fans understand that covering wrestling is a lot of work, period. No matter if you're covering WWE, TNA, or any specific promotion. But when you decide to cover women's wrestling as a whole and put it into written form, and all the work you have to go through, all the new girls, their work you have to check out, all the new things you have to check out. It's a lot of work, but it's also a blessing because it's helped grow my obsession, which is wrestling and women's wrestling, and helped keep me sane in times when I needed something to keep me occupied. Because I overthink a lot, and wrestling helps mellow me out. So, yeah. That's pretty much how I got into wrestling, and I'm sure that's how you got into wrestling. And man, Jen.
It's a lot, and I'm with you. After I got out of high school, and me and the other girl that was my wrestling friend in high school, we kind of drifted apart. I mean, nothing really happened, just life. But between, I want to say 2002 and 2009, 2010, when I got into social media, it was just me talking wrestling with my mom. And occasionally my cousin. He's like a little bit older than I am, so he's got his own life and whatnot. But it was just me and mom discussing wrestling until social media hit. And I think websites for us women, websites like Diva Dirt and then Ring Bells really helped grow, because when you said that about Blog Talk, it struck my memory. I can remember the first time Diva Dirt, every Wednesday, I want to say, would have a call-in show. And I started listening, and it was hosted by, I want to say, Melanie, Steven, and David. And I'm so shy and so nervous and so anxiety prone that my hands sweated. I wanted to call in so badly and talk and have a talk with these people about women's wrestling because I was like, there's an outlet. Finally, there's an outlet. And but I couldn't. I was so nervous until finally I was just like, one day I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it. And I did it. And it wasn't for very long, but it was they were all so nice and so welcoming. And it was mostly WWE talk because I just hadn't gotten into the independents at that point yet, but I was right on the cusp. It was just so nice to have people to talk to. And yeah, I mean, sometimes wrestling Twitter can be a dumpster fire, but I think social media has been on the whole the wonderful thing for wrestling because it brings us together who otherwise we wouldn't have anybody local to talk to. It exposes us to new things, new promotions, new wrestlers, new ideas, new ways of looking at wrestling, new viewpoints. And for us, for you and me, discovering Diva Dirt and then me being on the ground floor of Ring Bells, Ring Bells more than anything helped me find my voice. And because bless Stu and Lee, they did the podcast, Lee did the roundup. I couldn't have done that because I don't even know how many websites he and now you looked at for results and for news and for tidbits. I'm good at finding a topic and giving an opinion about it, and somewhere along the line, other people that I found, some people disagree, some people agree, but it helped me find my voice about being brave enough to speak out, just to being comfortable enough to say, hey, I'm a wrestling fan. I've got some views. I've got some opinions. I'm going to share them with you. We're going to have a conversation and just be more open because I was never a closeted wrestling fan, but after finding that reaction in high school, I mean, eventually that kind of died away, and there were some people who, like a transfer student from my senior year, a transfer student from New Zealand, he was a wrestling fan. And I remember one day he picked me up in a fireman's carry and ran with me out through the gym, through a hallway, into the outdoors for some reason. And these kindergartners were all watching us go, and they were chanting Goldberg, Goldberg, Goldberg. And these are like kindergartners at a private Baptist school, so I don't know what that says. But just for the longest time, not having anybody to talk to about wrestling, and then being a female as a wrestling fan, it's hard. It's tough. Even with social media, it's still tough. And I know that's one of the things that we were going to talk about either in this episode or the next. We wanted to give our backgrounds first and say, this is our journey. This is how we got into wrestling, how we got into women's wrestling, how we got into wrestling coverage. But we wanted to show that, I guess we wanted to present our credentials and say, hey, we might not know a finisher or two, but we are wrestling fans, so we wanted to give a voice to that.
Yeah, we're definitely going to, on the next episode, dive into social media aspect and how it can go from being a good time while you're watching Raw and you can be tweeting at the same time as 100 or 1 million wrestling fans, and then how you can just turn ugly with the online bullying or attacking. And I've been noticing for the past couple of months, and I'm sure you have too, Jen, with I've been seeing it a lot towards female fans. And I've been seeing a lot of guys going after female fans, and when I see that happening, it brings me back to when I was in school and being the girl known as a wrestling fan, and how guys would just make so much fun of me for that. And I'm thinking to myself, like, these are supposed to be my friends. Is this what happened? And I think after going through that, and sixth grade was the worst of it that I got it. Going through that, after that, I just became a closeted fan. I didn't want to talk about it. I didn't have anybody talk to it about. And so when I got into the internet and I found outlets to discuss it, and Ring Bells, I feel like I said before, is my strongest work, and it really helped me refine that voice that I once had, and then I kind of lost when I got lumped into the lump sum at Ring Angry Marks, and I kind of took a seat back to some of the things that was going on, and I got into this state where I would be on the air, and they would be talking about wrestling, and I just did not care because I felt like this is not where I might should be right now, or this is not helping me right now. And so when I left, and there's no hard feelings there, I had to leave to figure out if this thing that I've loved since I was a child was a thing that's going to continue for the rest of my life. And I'm 26 now, and I started this when I was 8 years old. So I've been involved with this for a long time. I consider wrestling my boyfriend, and we've had a long relationship, and we went through some ups and downs and went through some changes, but this is how I journeyed into it. This is how I got into covering it as a whole, and how I'm still covering it, and kind of also how Jen and I met, because I knew of you from your work. And I remember when I started following you on Twitter, I was just like, she likes wrestling. I didn't know any other girls that liked wrestling before I started following you, because I could not come in contact with any other girls besides the girls at Diva Dirt. And then when we finally like got to talk and finally got to know each other, and I was just like, finally, another female that likes wrestling. And before you was my friend Sloan, but other than that, I had a hard time with connecting with other female fans. And the past couple months, I've encountered a herd of female fans, especially the ones that are feminists. And it's just been all in glory of just like, wow, like, this is a beautiful thing. So, before we get out of here, you want to tell everybody where they can find you at on social media, Jen?
I have the biggest smile on my face right now. That's just awesome, and I'm really glad that we have the opportunity to do this podcast together. I'm at Pocket Volcano on Twitter. My Twitter is private right now while I'm trying to find a job because some of my tweets are probably not really friendly towards interviews. But that's the main place. My Facebook, I keep kind of private unless I really know you. Pocket Volcano on Twitter. That's where you can find me.
And you can find me on Twitter as well as CIARA 92189. I spell my name out because people always misspell my name or mispronounce my name or just butcher it altogether. And you can find me on there, and I talk about wrestling a lot. I tweet out articles, especially my articles, the Ring Bells Roundup, which is going to be undergoing some changes in the next couple of weeks. I'm not going to necessarily change the format around, just gonna be changing the things around, maybe the look of it a little bit, but that's something to look forward to. Facebook. I have to say this now, I'm not gonna say this again. If I know you and we've conversed and we've had no problems, I don't mind you add me on Facebook. But if I don't know you and you're trying to add me on Facebook because you follow me on Twitter and I've hardly even tweeted you, don't add me on Facebook. I keep it private. I keep it like that, and I'm just weird about certain things like that. I feel like you find me on Twitter, I talk all the time on Twitter, I hardly use my Facebook, leave my Facebook alone. It's kind of like if you go and find my MySpace for no reason, like, what are you doing? Just leave it there. Like, come on, I haven't touched my MySpace since I was in high school. Like, let's just leave that there. So, yeah, find me on Twitter, and I'm waiting and hoping that you guys will give some feedback on the show, what you guys like, and if you guys would share your stories. I think our goal is to hopefully get some girls on this show to share their stories and some of the things they've experienced with wrestling and women's wrestling, and make this a bigger conversation than something that goes on and nobody talks about it for. So hopefully you guys, if you guys listen to the show, you like it, send us tweets, let us know. If you have any questions, send us those too. And we'll talk about it on the next one. So, yeah, until next time, take care.
Toodaloo.